In speech, to speak of oneself with excessive pride, to brag or glory in yourself. And I know, as with any of us, I'm sure maybe you've been around people in your lifetime that were known to boast or to brag, and perhaps we've all done it some ourselves to a certain extent. But I want to just reflect a little bit here, just to bring out a little thought. I was thinking of it in with children. Perhaps we are more acquainted with it in that realm. When children are small, they don't realize, you know, sometimes they'll brag about themselves, or boast of themselves, or someone in their family, or what have you. And it can be kind of cute, you know. Maybe they're boasting about they're the tallest, or they can run the fastest, or maybe they have the best or newest toys, or, you know, whatever. And like I said, that can be kind of cute, you know, just as little children. But was thinking of one type of boasting that is kind of to another level, so to speak, is it's always amused me when maybe you have children that they want to boast or brag about their parents or their daddy. Like, their daddy's the best. He's the strongest, or he's, you know, the tallest, or he has the best job or the biggest house or whatever. And again, children will do those things, and it's innocent. You know, it's we laugh along with them and maybe tease them about it or whatever. But I was thinking of it this way. I remember years ago, it was actually one of our boys. I think it was in a church setting, like after church, and there was someone in the congregation was teasing one of them a little bit and kind of just getting them worked up a little bit. And then in the child's defense, my son's defense, he was trying to think of something to kind of put him back in his place. He didn't really know what to say, but he said, "My daddy's got a big knife." And that kind of set him back. And that was the intent. Like, he had to say something like, and the funny thing is it wasn't too long before that I did have my knife collection out, and we were being amused with my knives. And so that was really fresh on his mind. And so that was one way of trying to boast or brag about his dad, that you better get away from me because I got something that's better than what you got, you know. And again, that's just something that's humorous as a child. That's just how they deal with life. It's whatever comes to their mind, that's what they're going to say, and that's what they believe, and they're just there to express themselves that way. But thinking of talking about daddies or fathers, what I want to talk about this morning is boast is also boasting and bragging about a father, but more importantly, it's about our Heavenly Father. So I want to write the title on the board here. So what I want to talk about a little bit this morning is boasting for the Lord, because quite honestly, that's a safe thing to do. Because that's bringing glory to His name. It's not bringing glory to ourselves. And yes, we could say it this way. The Lord does have, our Heavenly Father, He does have the biggest house. He does own the most. He is the strongest. I mean, you know, all these things, our Heavenly Father is the best and the greatest at, all right? So it's true. So it's okay to talk about that. But I want to think of it this way. Just recently, I was, and I've shared something like this before with y'all, but I feel impressed again. And it's not so much about what I experienced, but it's just something I think we all have experienced. But recently, I was reading back through some old notes I had written down, some stuff years ago. And specifically, it was some, originally it started out as like some prayer requests and kind of writing down some prayers. But then I followed it up later and was connecting with some answers to prayer and some miracles that God had performed. And so when I was reading back over those, and sometimes, folks, we're human. I mean, sometimes we kind of forget. We may have a general concept of it and a general memory of it, but to go back and actually read the details of it again, I don't know about you, but those kind of things re-inspire me. They re-inspire my faith in the Lord, because these are some things that were very near and dear to me personally. And it's one of those things that hardly anyone else knew what was going on, but the Lord knew what was going on in that time. And he was working in my behalf. And he was doing things that I thought impossible. And then now, years later, I'm reflecting like, Lord, that was truly a miracle. You truly delivered in that situation. You truly, your hand was in it. Your strong hand was in that. And so I guess what I'm saying here this morning is I want to boast about my Lord a little bit this morning. And I'm not just going to tell a bunch of personal stories. That's not my point. But it is to focus on, let me put it this way. We all know right now in the condition of our nation, our world, and sometimes more directly, there's folks that are in some serious battles right now. And it is good to focus on what God has done. It's good to boast about the Lord and for the Lord, to remind ourselves and each other, and to remind the Lord, and quite frankly, to remind the devil what God has done and what God is doing. Because it's sometimes easy to lose the edge, so to speak, because we're focused on all these other things that are going on around us. And like I said, we all live life. And sometimes if you ever had one of those bad days or one of those bad weeks, like one morning a while back, we woke up and we had no water. I'm like, well, it's not cold enough to freeze. Well, the pump went out in the well. Sometimes life happens like that. Or maybe it's a mechanical issue with your vehicle, or maybe it's issues with equipment on the job, or maybe it's health issues or whatever. But it's good sometimes to just step back and, you know what, I want to boast and brag about the Lord a little bit, because maybe I don't understand everything that's going on, but I can remember what God has done in the past, and that can inspire us with what we're facing right now, okay? So I want to think about Apostle Paul here for a little bit. And if you could say in the flesh, Apostle Paul had a lot of things he could personally brag about, don't you think? What were some of those things? You guys help us out this morning? What were some things he could have personally bragged about and boasted of?
Education.
His education. That's right.
His track record of following the law.
Following the law, right?
His lineage.
His lineage, yes. And in general, his intellect, which came with some of that. So there was many things that Apostle Paul, he could truly boast about. He had, you know, a lot on hand, so to speak. But yet, what did he say about those things? That it is but dung, and that a righteousness is as filthy rags. He realized, and I believe we know the story about his road to Damascus, that experience where he met Jesus there. But there was still a process of things even after that he had to deal with, and had to realize he couldn't just jump right into the ministry amongst the Jews. There was a waiting period there, all right? But it was part of it, I believe, was the Lord was retraining his mind and his ways. That he realized, you know what? I can't boast about anything of myself. It's only the Lord. And I believe he was also the one that wrote, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So Apostle Paul came to realize that anything he had or anything he could do was because the Lord enabled him to do that. The Lord would perform on his behalf, that he was nothing in and of himself. But there's some scriptures here I want to turn and read that Apostle Paul wrote. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And I want to pick up with, there's a lot in this chapter, but we're just going to try to get the last part of it here. So we'll start with 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 27 is where we'll start. It says here, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth," in other words, he that's going to boast or brag about something, "he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord," okay? That it's going to be about the Lord. What has he done, all right? So, and that particular scripture, verse 31, actually relates to one in Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. I want to turn and read that those scriptures here for a little bit too. Jeremiah 9, excuse me, Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this." Notice what Jeremiah is saying here. "That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So I want to just pick up on this one phrase, to exercise loving kindness. That it's in the scriptures also, Prophet Jeremiah wrote there in Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And so you think about his loving kindness, it's God's mercies to us to bring us to the point where we're at today. Because it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I can think many times in my own lifetime, and I know you can think of some yourselves personally, where you thought you were to the end of the rope, so to speak. You thought, this is probably about it. But the Lord had mercy. And he gave, he extended his, he exercised his loving kindness to you once again. Isn't that just like the Lord? That we don't deserve it. We don't, there's nothing we can do to work that up, and that we can make up a tally and say, okay, Lord, I deserve this much mercy and this much loving kindness. But no, it is of the Lord's mercies. He chooses to extend and exercise his loving kindness to us in ways that, well, in fact, I want to sing about that just a little bit. I want to sing a verse in song number 94 in our hymnal, and we'll just sing the first verse. This one's titled, "Looking for Me." And I want you to pay attention, pay close attention to all the words. We're just going to sing the first verse and the chorus, but pay attention to these words. And yes, you'll find a special word that's mentioned on the board is in the chorus here. So, verse 1, 94.
Boasting shall be over the mountain where lonely I wander. Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me.
Yes, thank the Lord. And notice what it says there in the chorus. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, now and forever. So I'm not just going to do it now, but I'm going to forever boast. My boasting shall be that over the mountains where lonely I wandered, Jesus my Savior came looking for me. You realize that's why we're each one here this morning? Because Jesus came looking for you. He came looking for me. And to think that I was lost, and that's what it's saying here. I was a captive, but mercy released me. I was in darkness, but now I can see. And we were talking about Apostle Paul earlier, but there's so many examples throughout the scriptures, folks we've known, maybe our own experiences where we were blinded by things. We didn't realize the harm or danger that we were in, and maybe deception was just lingering around the corner there, whatever it was. But God in his mercy delivered us. He came looking for us. And over the mountain where lonely I wandered. How many times have we wandered off course before? And we're not on the right track. And we don't realize it. But the Lord in his mercies, he comes looking for us. And he finds us and he rescues us. Thank the Lord. And to think of these things, that the many ways that God has delivered us, each one, the areas that we've been so helpless in that we can't help ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? That we're not able to defend ourselves. And the times that he's healed us in many different ways, where it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, all these things. And that the times that he's protected us from harm, provided for us in our needs. But again, it's nothing that we can boast or brag about of ourselves. But it was the Lord that intervened. It was the Lord that came on the scene and delivered us from, quite frankly, sometimes from our enemies. In fact, I want to read a scripture here in Psalms 44 that the psalmist wrote. In Psalms 44, it says this. Psalms 44 and 7 and 8. It says, "But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever." So I want us to, that's the little scripture I want us to focus on, this little phrase, that in God we boast all the day long. That's what I want to focus on here a little bit this morning as we discuss a few more things here. To think of it this way. What are some things, and I want to ask for some input from you all this morning. What are some ways that we can boast for the Lord all the day long? What are some ways we can do that? For example, I'm just going to give you one example. This is a very obvious one. But in worship service, and we've heard some of these testimonies this morning. Brother Cliff and Sister Jeanette talking about the work there in Honduras. They were boasting for the Lord, how the Lord has enabled them to get so much done that they have so far. And to enable them to connect their flights and the scheduling that looked like was going to be all messed up. Yet in the end, the Lord worked it out where they got there in time. The Lord... They're boasting for the Lord, all right? So that's one example that we can boast or brag on the Lord, so to speak. But what are some other ways we can do that? Anyone else?
Singing his praise.
Singing his praise, exactly. That's a wonderful one. And we just got through singing verse 1 of number 94, and we sang some other songs earlier. So sing about it, yes. Anyone else? Very good, yes. Recounting his reasons of why we are still here and his mercies to us. Exactly. And I want to add to that. One, this is kind of in a general sense here. But we can live a life to glorify God. That's the ultimate thing that God wants us to do. And that's what Apostle Paul was trying to get across to the Corinthians there, that we must live a life that glorifies God, not ourselves. Again, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And Apostle Paul got that message, and he lived that message. How many things did he experience? And yet, he continued to give God the glory and the praise. He was in prison. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. All these things happened to him, but yet he didn't break. He didn't snap. He didn't just throw in the towel and say, you know what? I'm done with this thing. He didn't. He pressed toward the mark, okay? But in all of that, he was boasting and bragging for the Lord. So I want to add something here and to add to what Emily was saying. And this is actually something that we can all do, okay? But in reflecting and acknowledging God's mercies and how that we are all here today and what God has done for us, there is something, I've encouraged this before, and I try to practice it some myself, but I think this is something that's good and healthy for all of us, and I know I could do more of it myself, but to actually write some things down. Now, granted, it's good that we testify in church and we give thanksgiving. And we could do it at home. And we share that with our family and home. I think that's a good thing to do. And maybe on the job or maybe at the store, or maybe even online and all different things that we're boasting and bragging for the Lord. And that's a good thing to do. But even beyond that, I think it's a good practice that we write some things down physically, whether it's with a pen and a pencil or on your phone. I've done both. But as I mentioned earlier, I don't know how many times I've gone back and read some things. In fact, I came across a piece of paper I keep stashed in here. I'm not going to get it out and like read it all to you. But I came across it the other day, unless I accidentally took it out. Let's see if I can find it here. I've shifted through a lot of notes recently, so I may not be finding it. Well, this is one. I have another one that's a yellow sheet that I wrote down. And I don't think I have dates on this one. I could figure out the dates. But I have several things written down. This was just within a few months span of time, like... It's been a while back. We were at the old chapel, and I have another one, a yellow sheet somewhere that I wrote down some stuff. But the point is, I've gone back and read those things, and talk about inspiring and encouraging. And as I was mentioning earlier, when we take time to focus on the Lord, it helps us with everything else that is going on in life. I'll just say it that way. Because when we start boasting about the Lord, and we start and we make and we're intentional, and we actually write some things down, do you know what that does? That reinstills something in our minds. For instance, I remember in school, now this is maybe not for... It was typically when maybe there was some in the class misbehaving and whatever. So we had to write sentences. Multiple lines of sentences, you know. And sometimes it was maybe just a few. Another time the teacher's like, you know what? The whole class is going to have to do it. But by the time you write these sentences, like, you remembered very well what you wrote, right? But honestly, when we take time to... write and to boast and brag about the Lord, and we write it down for ourselves, there is something about that that reinstills it in our minds and our hearts that this is real and this is special to me. And I want to take this a step further. Can you imagine that when your loved ones someday get to read some of that too, what that'll do for them as well? So it's a two-edged sword, so to speak. It can bless you, and it can bless others that come behind you, okay? So, and I want to read that verse again. In God we boast all the day long. So what I want to do today is I'm going to give all of us a homework assignment for today. It's pretty simple, but I think it would be good and wholesome for all of us. And that is to write down just two things that you can boast or brag about the Lord, something personal, whatever, but to write it down, whether it's on your phone or on a piece of paper, just two things that's happened, say, this year, okay, since January 1st. But just write two things down. And as you're, and it could be one little sentence, or it could be just a couple of words, or it could be a whole paragraph. It doesn't matter, because you're going to know what that means, okay? And the Lord knows what that means too. But what I'm saying is, folks, I believe this is something, it's a powerful tool when we have these instances of battles in our mind where the devil wants to come along and he wants to overwhelm you and he wants to accuse you and he wants to rattle your cage, so to speak, or rattle the chains. It's like, oh, you're in bondage and you're a bad person and you know, things are, you're a failure and this is falling apart and this is happening and you better be fearful of this and you better watch out for this and all these things. Like, wait just a second here. I want to boast about my Lord for a little bit. And so that kind of clears the air, so to speak. And it focuses on who? It's focusing on the Lord, the one that can give us the victory. And as I was mentioning earlier about the little children that brag about their daddies, that they have the biggest this and they're the strongest here and all these things, that we can start telling the devil, say, you know what, devil? Let me tell you about my heavenly Father. He is stronger than you, by the way. And his mansion is beautiful, by the way, and yours, and you don't have one. And you can go down all these long lists of things and remind the devil of who he is and where he came from and where he's going to stay and remind him who your heavenly Father is. That not only does he own the cattle on a thousand hills, he owns the hills too. You understand what I'm saying? Where God's going to provide for us, folks. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us, as the psalmist said, begging bread. And we, yes, maybe our father and mother may forsake us, but he said, I won't forsake you. Folks, that's our heavenly Father. And that's someone we can boast about and we can brag about. And I don't want to say this again. It's good for the soul. And it's good for your body too. You realize that? That God can bring such a peace and the calmness over your body and over your mind when you start focusing on what God has done and what he is doing. So again, the little homework assignment for today is just write down two things. It doesn't have to be long, but be intentional with it. And boast about the Lord. And quite frankly, sometimes when I start writing, it's like, it's hard to stop. Because I think of more things, okay? So that's my little thought here this morning, and a little challenge, a little homework assignment. And as we close here this morning, I want to sing the rest of that song, number 94, and remember that chorus again, that he came, wonderful Savior, he came looking for me. And that's something we can boast about the Lord all the day long. You pray for me, I'd be faithful to him. Amen.